The pandemic has taken an incredible toll on people, especially on mental health. Tangible things like job loss and financial stress, and less tangible things like an uncertainty about the future and a lack of control. For a lot of people, this is affecting productivity at work, potentially putting their job at risk. Now, many employers have coverage if you need to file a mental health disability claim. Today, we're going to look at how that all works. Nanish Kotek is the founder of Kotek Personal Injury Law, and he joins us now. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
You have seen an increase in the number of mental health disability claims crossing your desk. By how much?
I would say, Bruce, by at least 50%. And we noticed this really into April, getting into the summer where we're seeing many more denials of mental health claims. So it's quite shocking, but yes, I've seen a big jump. And I think there's a number of reasons for this.
Why?
Okay, first of all, in general, mental health claims are more readily denied because it's invisible. You know, you're not going to find it on MRI, you're not going to find it on an x-ray. So often we see denials based on what's called insufficient medical evidence. And what we're seeing during the pandemic is not just with the new claims of anxiety due to the pandemic, but the increase to the symptoms of those who had pre-existing mental illness, such as anxiety, depression, OCD, panic attacks. For people who were already vulnerable, this has been almost like a coffin. It's been quite severe. We have many people who simply, first of all, they feel isolated to begin with, but now being asked not to speak with others or you know meet with others has made things considerably worse. Their fear of contracting COVID, in addition to the fears that the anxiety they had in the first place, has made things worse. Furthermore, what we're seeing is more claims from those who are, you know, they're frontline workers, but not so much the police and ambulance and fire and hospital workers, although we have seen some claims from nurses. But they're trained in a way to deal with pressure situations. But what we have seen is people who work in manufacturing, people who work frontline in grocery stores, in liquor stores, simply not being able to cope with the anxiety of catching COVID, and particularly when they've had something pre-existing, it's sort of the straw that broke the camel's back, where they just cannot work, and they're making their claims, and those claims are often being denied on the basis, well, you know, we think you can, there's not enough evidence, or we think you can do some other work, so to speak.
So what do people need to do to lower the likelihood that they will get denied? What is the process? What is the paperwork? What advice do you have that will reduce the number of clients coming to you to fight their claim on their behalf?
First of all, to make a disability claim, there's generally three forms that need to be filled out. The physician statement, which is crucial. That is the statement from the treating doctor who's going to set out what the impairments are and how it affects the ability to work. There's the employee statement, which is the personal statement of the insured person who is making the claim in terms of what's going on in their life, why they can't work. And then the form filled out by the employer. And these, again, are for group policies through employers. The form filled out by the employer, which is more factual in nature, the salary and when the last day of work was. Most important, I see claims denied because the suggestion that the person, and particularly those who are suffering mental illness, are not following guidelines of their treating practitioners. So I think it's very important to certainly when you meet with a family doctor, you meet with a psychiatrist or psychologist, give all your symptoms and try to follow the suggested guidelines in terms of treatment. It becomes difficult in the sense that to get a psychiatrist appointment, even pre-COVID, was often taking 6, 7, 8 months up to a year. Obviously, during the pandemic, it's a lot longer because these appointments are primarily virtual. The cost of a psychologist, if the disability benefits are not approved or if they're cut off, usually the employer will stop the medical benefits. This happens quite often. So even paying for the cost of a therapist or a, you know, psychologist, psychotherapist becomes difficult. So it is difficult, no question, to get the treatment that someone needs when they have mental illness and they have a disability claim. But I still think, you know, do your best to follow the guidelines, mm-hmm. suggestions of your family doctor or other treating practitioners to prevent the argument being put to you that, well, you haven't followed treatment recommendations and therefore right. you are not entitled to disability benefits.
And both to prevent the argument, but also to ensure that you're doing everything you can to be responsible for your mental health, of course. Social media is also an issue that you flagged. What would insurance be looking for if they're trolling my Facebook?
Right. So, you know, traditionally, we always envision the cloak and dagger, the hiring of private investigators and surveillance and following and filming. Certainly that can happen. But what is quite easy for insurance companies is to scour social media. Often people keep outdated LinkedIn page open. So for example, they can't work, but they leave their LinkedIn page that, you know, seeking this job or with these skills or working at this location when it's not entirely correct. So, you know, if you're going to keep that LinkedIn page, for example, make sure it's accurate. If you're not working, then, you know, don't put your working obviously there. So be up to date with it. Secondly, I would suggest, look, we as human beings tend to put our best foot forward. If we're going to put something on Facebook, people tend to put happy moments, pictures that maybe just tell a moment in time, but not the whole story about a person's life or their day-to-day activities. So just, you know, be cognizant. If you're going to post, I wouldn't post those happy pictures unless you're truly happy most of the time. The other option would be, I think it's very important, is to, for things like Facebook and Instagram, is to make them private. Because courts are less likely to order disclosure of those social media right. pieces if they are private to begin with.
Right now, it's obviously easy to find.
Very now, easy to find.
You're a lawyer, so I'm not going to ask you to be objective here. But when do you believe an individual should seek out legal help on getting support for a mental health disability claim? Just got about 30 seconds left.
Well, I try to be objective because if I'm not, you know, I have to be upfront with my clients. I try to be. But I would suggest, look, insurance companies offer an internal appeal process, which is like the right hand judging the left hand. Usually, almost all the time, is a no again. I would suggest as soon as you receive a denial from a disability insurer, contact a lawyer who does indeed practice in the area of short and long-term disability law.
Nainish, thank you for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Nainish Kotak is the founder of Kotak Personal Injury Law, and we were talking about mental health disability claims and what some of the reasons are why those claims might get declined.